Welcome to part two of our conversation with Buddy Thayer. On that thought, land like that, that has those horrific things that went on it day after day after day, and it now has this energy. Can anything ever be done to places like that to cleanse it? Or is it almost like, you know, like nuclear radiation, where it's like it has a half-life and maybe in time it gets cleansed? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's more like a like you say, like a half-life. It's probably maybe years. You take like battlefields like Gettysburg or Antietam that you know, thousands upon thousands of men died within a very short amount of time. A lot of blood spilled, a lot of like vicious, like a lot of like hand-to-hand combat, just awful ways to die. And those places still have activity, and those places outdate this place by over 50 years. There's hauntings that go back. I have a friend, a member of my group that travels to Ireland. He goes to like Hell Castle, or he goes to some of the old castles in Wales, mm-hmm. or he goes to like the what is it, the tunnels that go in Paris, the
catacombs.
Catacombs, and yeah. those are still haunted. Those are like thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Or hundreds at least, you know, 600 mm-hmm. years old at least.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we'll see the place like the Lad School. I don't know if we'll see the end game on that ever, you know? In my own lifetime.
In our own lifetime now. I mean, I think these half-lives go on for quite a while. But that's an interesting concept. Is there a shelf life for spirits? I mean, is there a time where, you know, beyond X date, the likelihood of seeing a spirit from, you know, this date back is very slim? Does the energy kind of still show itself only from more current times?
Right. I have a podcast on Sunday nights, and we had a guest on probably 2-3 weeks ago. We were talking about past life regression. I'm not sure where I stand. I guess I believe in it, but you're saying how every spirit, every person, or every energy, whatever, they're connected to their own group of, it's a group of them. So a spirit may hold on for like 100 years, 200 years, and then they all cross over together, or they cross over, and then I'm not really sure. I don't.
It's all conjecture, you know. Obviously,
we have no idea.
Exactly. I'm just curious. I mean, because it's an interesting thing where, you know, it seems you'll hear stories, and the ghosts that are seen are very much relative to at least as far back as the history of those locations go. Right. And in some cases, it can go quite far back, and some it doesn't. I don't know. There's just so many, you know, ways that can go. In the realm of your experiences of investigating, going to different locations and such, what would you say has been some of the more darker locations or things that you felt, things that, you know, didn't just feel like, you know, Aunt Louise that might just be hanging out and watching over?
I've been to where I felt like it was, well, no, I maybe two, where I could say it wasn't, and necessarily darker on the second one, but more non-human than, I don't know, non-human. We had one. First one was in Providence. It was sent to us from this woman. She did like Reiki work. She did medium stuff, mm-hmm. and she's like, I got this client. She's experiencing like really intense haunting stuff going on in her apartment in Providence. She's like, could you guys maybe reach out to her? Well, yeah, sure. So we're going to contact this woman. The first thing we do is we just do an interview with the person, regardless who they come to us from, whether it be a friend or whatnot, just, you know, get an idea of what they're experiencing, who they are, what's going on with them, any mental health issues that may exist, any health issues, any drug use, everything and anything you could think of to excuse this phenomena. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have it. She was probably in her early 30s. She had her mother lived there with her. Her mother was about early to mid 60s. They were Dominican. Her mother was straight from Dominican Republic, didn't speak a word of English. She spoke English, my client, and her brother was in jail, so her two-year-old niece lived there. The woman experienced it, and then the niece started experiencing it, but not at different levels. The niece would experience, like, she would wake up crying. She'd wake up with, like, slap, like red marks on her face, where the woman would report seeing, like, a figure coming into her room and would sexually assault her, which was kind of, like, weird to think about. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah,
actually happened. So I wasn't sure, but we investigated. I did the history and stuff. We got a lot of connection with, like, EVP wise, with spirits that might have lived there in the past. I did the history of the house beforehand, and they were like, there was male responses to, like, questions about the man that lived there, about the market that he owned, about the daughters, the children that they had, about different things that they did. But there was like nothing in the basement. You go in the basement and there was nothing at all that was, there was like weird stuff reported down there. But I guess prior to these people living there, the house was, the apartment was, well, the house, the building was vacant. It was a duplex. The house was vacant for like 2 or 3 years. And somebody had broken in and done some satanic worship in the basement. So I'm a show me kind of guy. I'm not gonna believe. I'm gonna be like, oh my god, that means there's a demon or something. I'm like, all right, we'll look into it. But I never got any EVP activity in the basement. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I excuse it. I stuff kept happening after that. We did a saging and cleansing and stuff kept happening. It only seemed to get more intense when we would do stuff. So I had some mediums come in with me. One of the mediums I had worked with several times, it was Amy. It was the first Amy. And then a friend of hers, who was also named Amy, was trying to experience this a little bit more, was a medium, was trying to get into it a little bit more. So they did, like, readings for people. They did, like, grievance and stuff like that. And then they did, like a lot of positive energy light. They had come with me. Amy one had come with me on a few cases that were not that were like easygoing spirits, whatever, like on Sally, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But so they came out with me, and we did the whole house. We staged the whole house. They picked up on the man. They picked up on the daughters. They picked up on an energy that was there that was controlling, and they thought it was the father. So they crossed over, like, I guess they crossed over the two girls that were there.
Yeah.
And they banned the father from, like, from doing anything else to this woman. So we thought everything was good. We left. Well, I guess they thought everything. I was like, all right, let's see what happens. So we left. About a couple weeks go by, and this is a woman who would call me, Tony, every day, every single day. This woman would call me. This happened, that happened, for 45 minutes to an hour every single day. Mm-hmm. Freaking out. So the fact that I didn't hear from this woman for 2 weeks was, like, kind of wonderful for me.
Yeah.
But then after 2 weeks, I started hearing from her again. She's like, it's much worse. It's worse at night. My niece is up all the time. There's stuff happening to her all the time. Stuff's happening to me all the time the last couple days. It's in the night. It's in the day. It's all the time. So I called the Amy's back up, and we went back in there. I'm like, the only place we didn't do is the basement, because we didn't really have any experiences in the basement. So let's go in the basement this time. All right. So they're like, all right. So we go in there, and we're going down the stairs, and it was me going down first. It was Amy two behind me and Amy one behind her, and Amy two stops. And she's like, I feel like I'm going to be sick. She's like, I'm so nauseous. I got a headache. It's like, I got a burning sensation in my chest. And she's like, I got to sit down. And she was dizzy. And she's like, I keep seeing, like, there's something dark. There's something demonic. There's something, like, negative down here. She told me about the boys who broke in there and did the worship that I had known about. I don't tell mediums anything when they come with me. I tell them that the address about an hour before we were supposed to meet there,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. That's as much as they'll get out of me. I'm like, I got somewhere I got to have you come with me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give the address like the day of, and that's it. So they were telling me stuff like that, and it's like there's something more. So I'm like, all right, Amy one convinced her. She's like, let's just go down and have a look. The basement was split on two sides, so we went to the right side first. And nothing at all in there. It was fine. She was fine. She started. Amy started to calm down a little bit. Started to relax. She's like, "All right." They lit the sage up. They started doing the sage. They walked into the second room, the room on the left, and they both stopped. And they were both like mortified. They're like, "There's all these demons," and they described them to me as like almost like half human with an arm missing or like. Really weird spiky hair with like an eye not there, or the eyes weren't there, or just like, all right, well, I'm saying okay, all right, but in my mind I'm like, I'm not seeing anything, I'm not hearing anything, I don't know how much of this I can believe, you know,
mm-hmm.
being the skeptic as much as I can. And we moved through the whole room and we turn around, we're walking out, and I say to myself in my head, if there's something here, just do something. Let me see something. Please show me something.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, Amy 2, behind me, let out a ghastly scream. She's like, there's a burning, there's a burning. And I was like, what's going on? And she's like, there's a burning on my back. And she lifts up her shirt, and I swear to God, I still got the picture to this day. It's on the Ocean State Paranormal page on Facebook. It's three red scratch marks about 8 or 9 inches long, going down the right lower side of her back. And I was like, oh my, I was in such shock. I was like, all right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We went upstairs. I said to the client, I was like, she showed her what she showed her scratches. The client was like, oh my God. And I'm like, I can't help you any further with this, but I know some people who can. So
yeah.
We left. They went to a church for about 6 hours and prayed. I went home and I called a demonologist that I knew in Massachusetts, and him and his team went down there and we did a blessing. Mm-hmm. Now, on this blessing, I went in there with the experience that I had, but I was still kind of a little skeptical because I'm like, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was an allergic reaction. I don't know. I was sure. Just trying to like, it was just coincidence.
Yep.
We go in, it was, I'll never forget this. It was September 18th in New England. I don't know if you're familiar with this area. It's fall. It's the beginning of fall. It's the end of summer. So it's still pretty nice out.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 78 degrees. It was about 6 o'clock at night. The sun was still up. And we were in this house with these demonologists or ordained ministers. And it's basically, if you know anything about Catholicism, it's basically like a Catholic, like mini mass. They did a lot of Catholic prayers that I knew, and they put like oil on the windows and the mirrors and stuff, and on the sign of the cross. And they did it was a member of my team was with me and her husband and these guys and the client.
Mm-hmm.
And they did like a prayer circle upstairs. I started getting this feeling. It was in my, again, it was started in my upper neck, lower neck, where my back meets my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a heavy pressure, like more than like I've ever had. And then it became a pain, and then the pain moved down my back. It was, my entire back was like on complete fire, and it was absolutely painful. I have back problems now, but it's not related to, it was more, I don't know, it's more like you feel like if you're standing up for like a really long time, you start to get like sore in your back.
Sure.
That's the only thing I can relate it to, but it was pretty intense. So we took a break, we went outside, some of the guys had a smoke, and I went out there, and I'm like, I had this awful pain in my back. I just wanted to sit down. And they're like, oh, me too. I had it. And then like everybody that was in that circle had the same experience. So then we went in the basement, and the client held the Bible, and the head demonologist, he did a prayer session, and I recorded it. And I've never experienced anything so surreal in my life. Like the temperature would go from like, we would get like in a basement. All right. It would, mm-hmm. go from like 100, 90, 95, 100 degrees. It was hot, 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 hot. Then it was like so cold, I could almost see my own breath. And as he's doing this, she's sweating, he's shivering. And on the recording, it sounds like there's like 100 whispers in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I can hear, help us. Some of them you can't make out at all. I don't know what it is. But I've never experienced anything so surreal in my lifetime. That was just at that moment. I'm like, I'm just a ghost guy now. I'm not going to like, I was kind of interested in the world of demonology a little bit, but not at all. I'm all set.
Yeah, I mean, having an experience like that, did it open your eyes to the possibility of like the dangers that really, you know, one could fall into?
Not just the experience itself, but trying to organize this thing took months. Sometimes it was always something with somebody that was going wrong. Mm-hmm. One of my team members tripped in her house and broke her arm in two places. My wife was in the hospital for 6 weeks. I mean, it's all explainable, but it's a weird coincidence how it all, no, I don't know. Maybe it's not a weird coincidence, but it all kind of happened around the same time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of negativity. Everybody experienced something negative.
Yeah, it's like a dark cloud or something that was hanging over the,
one of the demonologists had a divorce and like lost a lot of his, got destroyed in the divorce area and lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's stuff that would happen, I guess, but it just all kind of happened at the same time around this. And as soon as we moved on from this, everybody was copacetic.
Yeah.
Everything was cool. The client, I ended up seeing, at that point, the demonologist took over and he was kind of advising her and do, not to say it was a demon, but it was definitely negative. So he was kind of going through with her, and I backed off from it and kind of went back to my ghosting stuff. And about a year and a half later, I saw the demonologist. I was at a Paracon in Rhode Island, and I ran into him. I'm like, oh, hey, how's that? What's her name? How did she work out? Everything cool? He's like, oh my God, no. This woman, this was her thing. She, I guess she was originally Catholic. And then when the stuff started happening to her, she used Catholicism to try and force it out, and nothing, that didn't work. So then she tried Judaism, and that didn't work. So then she tried Islam. Then she tried, then she got into, like, Santeria, and she got into voodoo, and she got into anything she could get into that would try to alleviate her spiritual problem. I think using all this, she had all these religious artifacts in one room. It was like, from 10 different religions, all tied in all this one little room in the back. I don't know if that had something to do with it. They told her to pack all that up and get rid of it all, because some of it was she had bought it like secondhand, so she didn't know where it came from. Some of it was there at the house, you know. And they told her to get rid of it all, and she packed it all up in a bin and she put it in her closet. And the activity just continued to happen. I don't know if it's related to that, but It got so intense that her mother started experiencing it and couldn't come to grips with it. And from what I told, she had a mental break and she ended up in one of the hospitals here in Rhode Island, mental hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't turn out well for them. I don't know what happened to the woman. It's just, I don't know. It's a world that I don't know how sold I am to say it's like the devil or a demon, because that's kind of like putting a religious spin on it. I like to be a little bit more practical and say it's just a negative energy.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Buddy. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program, and thank you to you for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.